Yes, it's good to be here tonight, isn't it? Thank you for being here. It's just a real pleasure to see all you faces, all of you being here. It's just really encouraging, actually. I'm really nervous. I'll start with, we'll just open up in prayer and just to give this time to God. Dear Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this time. This perfect moment, Lord, that we all chose to be here today in this house with you, to be with you in your presence, Father God. Just to see more of you and hear more about you, Lord, all the miracles and all the things that you've done for us, Lord, and the things that you've done just for your own pleasing. And it's just so wonderful to us too. And, we thank you, Lord, for everything that you are, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, it's just a testimony about myself, and I just want to just briefly give you a history. Well, Andrew, as you know, is my husband. He's over there. I'm from a family of five siblings, so there's five of us. Five like me out there. And I'm just really proud to be in an amazing young adults group. Good on you guys. Love you guys. And also I help out with the kids club, which is a really, really great place to be. And it's really fun if you're a kid. Come. And also part of the worship team. You probably see me. And also just being part of the Grow Life. Just being in this church is really, really a big part of my life, and growing here is just, yeah, really big part in change too. But I also like to give you a rough idea of what happened 10 years ago, roughly, because that's when it all kind of happened. I had a pretty good life. Like, I was pretty content. I was pretty happy where I was, you know. No one told me what to really push me on what to do or, you know, force me. I didn't have that much expectation. I had a pretty, my parents are great. Like, I knew they loved me, even though they didn't say it. Like, I can sort of see it. I'm from a Vietnamese background, so I don't know how familiar you guys are with that. It's just sort of a culture sort of thing, and it's a big change for them to come over to Australia and all that. And, they're really focused with work. So unfortunately, they didn't really spend very much time with us, but I knew they loved us somewhere. And also just opportunity growing up in Australia, a really, really great opportunity. I was able to go through high school without being bullied, maybe just once, but yeah, it was just a really good life for me. Like, I had it really good. Like, I still do, but you know, I was pretty pleased with myself too, because I had pretty good friends. You know, they're pretty cool. I hang out with the right crowd. My parents were happy about that. They weren't dodgy, you know, so I wasn't hanging out with the dodgy crowd. So I think, you know, if my parents were talking to their friends about me, I'm pretty sure they're proud of me when they speak about me and stuff like that. So I was safe, if that was the word. So I was pretty content and cruising along. My mother is a Buddhist. And my father is somewhat a free thinker, or he wasn't really into anything, but yeah, he had his own thoughts about everything at the same time. So between out of those two, I thought maybe I was a part-time Buddhist. So technically meaning I was a non-practicing Buddhist, and I didn't really understand what that meant, but I sort of categorized myself in that way because all my friends were Buddhists. And I thought, oh yeah, I'm Buddhist too, yeah. I didn't really do very much about it. Like, I just saw my mum doing little practicing here and there, and I go to the temple when it's special occasion, like New Year's and stuff like that. So it's a non-practicing Buddhist is what I was. but at the same time, all that was happening. I was pretty content, didn't really matter. And all that time, I didn't know God. I didn't know Jesus. I thought, I don't need to know anything else, really, you know. But anyway, I was about 18 and Andrew came along. Andrew came along and it all changed. We were friends. We started off being friends, so that was good. And then we were more friends, so that was, you know, even better. And then we were in love. So you parents, be careful when that happened. So that's all I knew about, and really that's all I cared about. It was, you know, Andrew, and he was precious to me, and he was someone I couldn't imagine being separated from, and I didn't think anyone or anything could possibly have done that, you know, be able to anyway. But our first challenge came, it's sort of bad and good. I mean, you have to go through things to sort of work things out, and in the end, it all came well. But in between, our first challenge was actually my parents. Look, don't get me wrong, I love them, and now I know they love me. But they didn't get the idea that possibly one day Andrew could possibly be my husband, and they just couldn't get that idea. They couldn't understand that idea, and it was possibly because of the differences that we had. I mean, our culture was very different, and religion. Like, I was part-time Buddhist and he was Christianity and all that. And I guess our height difference. Just a little bit, yeah. I mean, what's that about? But, yeah, that really troubled Andrew and I. And so we had some drama with them. And, I mean, I was glad that they were honest with me. So that's part one, and that was good in a way. But I was really worried about our relationship, and that I thought it might be brought to an end. But somehow Andrew had hope, and I just couldn't understand that. He had hope because Andrew had hope and trust in God. Now, again, I don't know God. I didn't know God. However, in the past, during our relationship, Andrew had been sharing with me about God and how he has a relationship with Jesus, who he prayed for, and I thought that was weird to me. I thought it was, who else could Andrew could possibly confide in his worries to? Who else could be more important than me, or, you know, equal to me? I thought I was the one, you know. I remember being very emotional every time he talks about that relationship with Jesus, and I guess I was a bit jealous because I thought our relationship was really that strong, you know. Also, I found it really hard. Yeah, I found it really hard to understand this other relationship Andrew had had. So Andrew started talking to me about it, and he talked to me about God's love. You know, I couldn't imagine a God. I couldn't see him, but God's love, you know, how he's unconditional love for me. So it was for me. It wasn't just for Andrew. It was for me. And I couldn't comprehend. And I couldn't get the fact that someone could possibly love anyone whom he hadn't met. And it took me a while to fall in love with Andrew. I mean, look at those gorgeous green eyes. But yeah, I mean, I didn't even have a relationship. Andrew had a relationship with Jesus, and I didn't have a relationship with Jesus. It took me a while to have a relationship with Andrew, and I thought, you know, it takes a while. So I didn't even know this Jesus, and I don't even have this relationship. How could he possibly love me? I'm up to, and I guess also I was sort of putting up a wall, like, you know, I can't let this God love me because I have to love him back. How do I love him back when I can't even see him? Now, again, I didn't know anything about Jesus, anything about God. I remember watching, you know, television about Christmas celebration and there's this baby Jesus, but then there's this other adult Jesus. I'm like, which one is it? So anyway, now I learned that falling in love is very different to loving someone. To love someone and to fall in love with someone is very different. God loves us, and because He chose to, He loves us, and from the beginning, He loves us even though we don't know it, and He continues to love us tomorrow, no matter what today is. Anyway, I always trip up sometimes, actually. I trip up that His love is just so great. So no matter what we've done, He continues to forgive us and love us and you know, love us as His child. And it's because He just loves us. It just means so much to Him to be able to love us. It's just part of His nature. And I found that really hard to believe too, but now I know. So Andrew asked me if I wanted to pray with him. He explained to me about asking for forgiveness of my sins. Now, you know, come on. I mean, I was a good girl. Why would I have to ask for forgiveness? I thought, yeah, ask my mum and dad. I was good. I've done nothing wrong. So why do I have to ask forgiveness to someone I didn't even do anything wrong to? But now that I learned, my standards are way off to His perfect standard, His God's standard. And I'm sure there's more to explain in that area, but yeah, it's just now I understand it's just very different. And so I didn't know this at the time, but Andrew actually prayed to God without me. So he just prayed to God just by himself, and you know, he was just concerned about me, and he really loved me. And but then soon after, he took the opportunities to tell me about God and how important it was for me to know and have that relationship with Jesus. And over a period of time, it was clear to me that this God thing was very important to him. Something that shocked me was when Andrew explained to me that while our relationship and love was so treasured and cherished, he would actually choose for me. And this is where I turned around. But he would actually choose for me to know God over being together if he had to make that choice. And, at the time our relationship was a big thing to me, sorry. So, I thought that was a bit shattering. But, so moving on. He suggested that I should go and do this thing called the Alpha Course. Alpha Course. and it's a great course. If anyone hasn't done it, fantastic course. It's where you learn about the Bible and why Jesus and God all came together and how important it is and why people even believed. Like, why believe something you can't see? But, it's just really good because I was able to learn, you know, all the simple questions, all the basic questions that I had. Oh, it was answered. Oh, thank you. So I had all these basic questions that was answered, and while I was there, more questions arose, and so it just kept rolling and rolling and rolling. But the more it rolled, the more I learned about God, and the more I appreciate what this is all about. So I made that phone call to I actually made that phone call. I'm not sure if I spoke to Lewis or Sue. I can't remember. Don't know. Anyway, Sue and Lewis are the ones that does Alpha Course, and they're really good at it. I remember, it was just really fantastic course. And I had never actually considered stepping into a church because I actually thought it was just a place for, you know, someone with a particular culture to go. And, you know, I was just very young and naive and I don't know very much, but I thought it was just for, you know, people that are not Asian, people that are not, you know, they're not, you know, it's just, they're not Caucasian, they're not light skin. That's what I thought. Like, I was so young and naive. But, yeah, and when I stepped into this church, it was just amazing. Just so multicultural. And, yeah, it was just, felt like home. Like, I felt really welcome and everyone was just really good. And, yeah, sorry. So yeah, I just continued doing the Alpha course. I think it was 10 weeks or something. So after that, or while that's happening, I can't remember too well, but, one day when I went over to Andrew's house, I had a stomach ache. And at that time, I was just learning about God. I was just like knowing about Him, theatrically. I don't know the word. So just from the books I knew about Him, from the video I heard about Him, people telling me, but I've never really experienced Him. And that sort of stopped, but I kept learning about it. I was persistent. So that was good, I guess. One day when I went over to Andrew's house, I had a stomach ache and he asked if I wanted to be prayed for. And I thought, well, what can I lose? I mean, this, you know, might as well pray for me. And as soon as he prayed for me, went away, I thought, wow, that's pretty amazing. That was just really gentle. That was just, you know, nothing, it wasn't forced upon me, you know, it was just really gentle. It was just gone. It was just like that. It was just straight away. And then Andrew took the opportunity. He's a smart boy. He thought, oh, well, you know, well, why don't you ask Jesus to come into your life? Hey. And I thought, you know, why not? What can I lose? So I asked Andrew to pray with me. We prayed together and asked God to forgive my sins and ask God to come into my life. And that was good. It's pretty sweet and nice and easy. what else is there? So, I continued to go to Westvale. At that time it was Westvale, if you didn't know. And I was very blessed by many friends I received and, you know, all the relationship I built is just amazing. Everyone was just so genuine and you guys are still, I love you. there's few people that particular sort of came out, and it's just at the time when I'm writing this, I've just kind of chosen a couple of people to tell the stories about, but yeah, nothing too, there's more of you, maybe next time. But I sort of like to finish up by telling you some examples of what why I've been sticking around for so long. So something that played a part in me learning about God's heart and His love for us was through the attitudes and actions of people at this church. So I didn't know it then, but these attitudes and actions were the outworkings of the fruits of the Spirit that Paul teaches us about in Galatians. To talk about the fruit of the Spirit, I'd just like you to turn over to Galatians. If you'd like to turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Sorry, I haven't done a PowerPoint or anything. And so that's chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. Paul writes, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Isn't that amazing and good that there's no law against these good fruits of the Spirit? And isn't that amazing that the fruit of the Spirit written in this Bible is just ageless? It's just ageless. It's relevant back then, and it's relevant, and it's so relevant, and probably more so relevant today. We need it so much. And so the fruit of the Spirit is it's pretty much God's nature. I usually call it God's nature, but in the Bible it says, the fruit of the Spirit, which is all good, and as we know, God is good. So that's great. So back before I was a Christian, just rewinding, Susan Mercica, who was helping to run Alpha with Lewis, would take me to Alpha every week in her car. Now, in the car, we would talk, and we were able to talk about things that I was not comfortable talking in front of the group. And sometimes we would be sitting in a car for like half an hour or so, and we just chat, like just really good friends, and we were able to, build that relationship, and I built that trust with her. But basically, Susan showed to me kindness and faithfulness. Look, kindness doesn't specifically mean to be like nice. Nice is being pleasing or agreeable. Kindness is actually acting for the good of people, regardless of what they do, and not expecting anything in return. Now, Susan wasn't expecting anything from me. I mean, she wasn't expecting a tip or anything for driving me home. And I was a pretty poor student, so I didn't really have anything to give back. But so I was very blessed to have Susan at that time, and just to build that relationship and that connection with the church as well, and help me grow while I was really studying more about studying or reading or watching videos about God. So the kindness here we are talking about comes from the Greek word Christotis. Christotis. Very good. You Greek? Oh, okay. The Apostle Paul uses this word to demonstrate God's incomprehensible kindness for people who are unsaved. And Paul writes in Ephesians 2, if you like to turn to Ephesians 2, verses 6 to 9. Chapter 2, 6 to 9. And God raised up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not for yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. That is the gift that God has, and that's his show of kindness to us. So from my very early days of coming to Westvale also, Joan Patton, she's not here tonight, I think, showed me love and encouragement whenever I saw her. And she would give me a really good hug. I really like good hugs. And I would just see this love and joy in her. I could tell that she really cared about me. But at the same time, I saw that it was a very different expression of love that my parents had had for me. But Joan helped me understand that my parents show me love through action, and not necessarily words and hugs.
And that actually made a really big difference to me, because then now I learned to appreciate. I learned to appreciate my parents a lot more now than before. So that made a difference. And I love. I just do. And there's so many ways of expressing love, and I just love it. And love is the greatest command God has given us. And it is a mark of a true believer. So all of you has love, you're a believer. If you also like to turn to Mark, we've got a scripture for that. Mark chapter 12, 28 to 31. Chapter 12, 28 to 31. We learnt this. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked them, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all of your strength. The second is this, love your neighbour as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." It's a big job. Sometimes you forget to love others. But yeah, that's God. Now there's more example of these with other people that have demonstrated this, the fruits of spirits to me in this church. And but we can live in these things, and I think we can go a long way in helping others to come to know our loving God, just as I have. We just need to show the fruit of loves and fruit of spirit. God's nature. And just to conclude, I didn't think I needed God, but it turned out I did. I needed him then when I was going through a rough time, and I still need him now, because he's still with me. He's still with us all, and he's alive, because as we know, he rose from the dead. So he's alive and he's with us. And what the difference is, if we apart from needing God, I think we need to want God. Like, want him to be there. Want him to be there when, you know, you're going through a rough time, even when you're happy. You just want to share those moments with him all the time. And, it's that relationship I learned. So, I really hope that explains my walking with God a little bit. And if you don't know God, it would be, and would like to experience what I have, and even more. I mean, this is just like a little bit, just a tiny bit of what he has in store for you. And his love is just awesome.